More than 100 of America's biggest bosses.
I just hope I can keep up with the guys.
Have gone undercover in their own companies.
That it wasn't as easy as it looks.
So, lift me up.
I'm about to just flip out here.
I would almost swear you look like somebody else.
Right here, right now, we're going to shut the restaurant down.
More than $20 million has been awarded to employees.
I write up a check for $250,000.
Oh, my God.
And millions of lives.
I'm going to pay off the mortgage.
Changed forever.
For real?
This is real.
The greatest reward is to see people live their dream.
That's a life changer.
Hello, everyone. Again, my name is Clint Schwartz. I'm the lead pastor here at Lighthouse. Anybody seen that TV show, Undercover Boss? Yeah? I've seen a few episodes of it, they're good. They're pretty good, right? I've enjoyed them. Here, for those of you that haven't seen it, here's the description. Undercover Boss is an American reality TV series where a person who has an upper management position at a major business goes undercover as an entry-level employee to discover the fault in the company. I can only imagine what it would feel like to be working with a new trainee, right, for like a week or two, just to discover later on that they are the president of the company or maybe even the owner of the company. So how would you guys feel if that happened to you in your place of employment? Would you feel like, oh, right, I'm happy. They finally got to see how hard I work. Or would you be like, oh, boy, I don't know if I'm going to keep my job. You know, it's interesting. We don't know how we would all feel, but one thing for sure, when they would reveal to us who they are, we would feel surprised, right? We'd feel surprised. Now, I haven't actually ever had like an undercover boss situation, but there's been some times in my life that I've been surprised. I'll give you one of those. When I was attending another church several years ago, I remember I was late to church. Anyone ever been late to church before? No? No one here, I can tell, yeah. But anyway, I was running late to church, and there was a car in front of me that was driving so slow, right? When you're late, there's always that car that's so slow in front of you. That's where Sunday drivers comes from, right? Anyway, so it's on Sunday, and I'm right on their tail, and I'm like weaving and trying to get around them. Finally, it clears enough that I floor it, and I bust around them and get up ahead of them. I didn't wave at them or anything, so I did pretty good. But anyway, so I got in front of them and pulled up to the church entranceway, pulled in, and you know what happened? They pulled in as well, right? I was like, oh man, that was surprising. I parked way far away, so I didn't have to park by them. I've also been the person who has surprised people before. When my kids were younger and they were doing a lot of sports, Rose and I would go to the games and we'd sit in the stands or we'd bring our chairs and sit with the parents. And we got to know a lot of the parents over time, you know, just talking to them and listening to them. And they would use some pretty colorful language along the way and you just kind of laugh it off. But after a few weeks or maybe a few months, the dreaded question for me would be asked, "So, what do you do for a living?" Oh, I'm pastor. And all of a sudden, they didn't show their surprise, but their language changed. You know, the things they talked about actually changed. So I think there was a little bit of surprise that happened when they heard that I was a pastor. So surprise encounters, we're going to talk about that today, because they can be exciting, they can be embarrassing, can even be frightening. But let me submit to you, what I think that we need probably in this life more than anything is a surprise encounter with Jesus Christ himself. So today we're going to look at a time when Jesus actually surprised two individuals that were out for a walk. So we're in a message series titled Unfinished Business. And in this message series, we're looking at the post-resurrection encounters of Christ. So after he rose from the dead, Jesus walked the earth for 40 days before he was ascended into heaven. And our theory on this is that he had some more work to do. He still had some unfinished business. And so last week, we looked at a message. Pastor Matt gave a message titled, The Doubting Encounter. And this is where Jesus shows up to the disciples who were doubting him, especially doubting Thomas. And it was a great message about how to handle our doubts. So if you missed it, you can watch it online or off of our website. But today we're going to be in Luke chapter 24. You can turn there. And this is an encounter where Jesus surprises two of his followers. He actually surprises them while they're out on a walk. And this encounter takes place on Resurrection Sunday. So it's the third day after Jesus had been crucified and buried, and then he had rose from the dead in the morning. And this is, I don't know, probably sometime late morning or afternoon. So we're going to pick up from that. Chapter 24, starting with verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. Two of them were his disciples or followers of his, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, sounds like an undercover boss situation, doesn't it? You know? He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village in which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him." That's the great surprise, right? "And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.'" So our message for today is titled, "The Surprise Encounter." The Surprise Encounter. And we're going to look at some wonderful ways a surprise encounter with Jesus will affect us. So I have a few things that you can fill in your handouts if you would like, but first let me pray. Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us. Jesus, I pray that your presence would be here today. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts to receive from you. And God, thank you for your presence already. Give me your words to speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a couple of things you can fill in your handout, a couple of points. First of all, a surprise encounter with Jesus will bolster our faith. Bolster our faith. Luke 24:17 says, Jesus asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still with their faces downcast. So they were walking. Jesus asked them, "What are you talking about?" And they just stopped and they were saddened. And then they went on to explain in verse 20 and 21, the chief priests and our rulers handed him, Jesus, the Messiah, over to be sentenced to death. And they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. These disciples had hoped that Jesus was the Messiah, but they had killed him. They had heard that the women went to the tomb and they didn't find his body, and then their companions ran to the tomb as well, and they didn't find his body. And they were confused and they were lost and they were saddened. Even though Jesus told them time and time again that he must die and that he would rise again on the third day, they were confused. They didn't believe it. See, they were sad. Their focus was on the crucifixion and their faith was shaken. But when we jump down to verse 34, we read another sentence that they say, and they said, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." See, the two men now believed, and they were excited. They believed that Jesus had risen. They went from sadness and disbelief to excitement and belief. It was a surprise encounter with Jesus that changed everything for them. So have you ever felt that God promised you something, either through scripture or prophecy or a miraculous situation, or maybe you heard God speak to you in your spirit and you knew that it was God and you were sure of it, just like these two men. But then over time, when things didn't happen the way that you wanted them to happen or situation changes, you began to lose faith. You begin to doubt. I've had that happen to me many times in my Christian walk. I've heard something from God and I've had the faith to hang on to it. But then when it doesn't happen right away, right, your faith begins to just dissipate. We begin to lose faith. We begin to doubt. And it's in those moments that if I press into my relationship with Christ, if I pursue him, and I seek an encounter with him, then I will experience God, right? Because scripture says in Jeremiah 29:13, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all my heart, with all your heart. So when we seek God in those times of faithlessness, he meets us and we find him, and then that bolsters our faith. An encounter with Jesus will always bolster our faith. Now, I had to look up the word bolster. I thought I knew what it meant. It actually is a pillow. Do you guys know that? Anybody know that bolster is a pillow? I just, like, there's like four of you. All right. I was going to show a picture. But what it means is to support or strengthen or prop up. And I love that word because that's really what we need in those moments of doubt. We need someone or something to support or strengthen or prop up our faith. And it's in those moments when we wonder and doubt, if we experience a connection, the presence of Christ, it will bolster our faith. It will encourage us. It'll strengthen us. And honestly, we need to fight for those encounters. And that's when we really don't want to. When our faith is shaken, when we're beginning to doubt, what we need more than anything is to pursue our faith. And that's the last thing we want to do. But we got to press through. We've got to fight for it. Because an encounter with Jesus, this is your last, or here's your feeling. Jesus' presence will always prop up our faith. So pressing into our relationship with Christ is exactly what we need in our times of doubt. So we have a surprise encounter with Jesus, it'll bolster our faith. The second point is this. A surprise encounter with Jesus will correct our errors as well. Correct our errors. When Jesus met these two men along the road, he asked them what they were talking about, and he says, "What things?" And they said, "About Jesus of Nazareth." They replied, "He was a prophet, but we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel." When Jesus asked them what they were talking about, he says, "Well," they said, "Jesus of Nazareth was a prophet, and we had hoped that he was the one, the Messiah." Meaning that they had no longer hoped, right? They had hope, but they no longer hoped. And Jesus replies to them, he says, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. These two men were in error for several reasons. First of all, they believed that Jesus was only a prophet. He was much, much more than a prophet. He was the Son of God. And then they had said, "We had hoped had hoped that he was the Messiah. So they had no longer hope that he was the Messiah because he had died, right? They're like, well, we had hope, but I guess he's not. And the third reason they were wrong is because their understanding of the Messiah was wrong. They thought that the Messiah was going to come, the prophesied Messiah throughout all of the Old Testament, was going to come and redeem Israel to free them from Roman rule, much like the prophets and the judges and the kings from the Old Testament. But Jesus had come not to free Israel from Roman rule, but he had come to free all of us from the consequences of our sin. And in order to do that, Jesus corrected them and said, the Messiah, the prophesied Messiah, has to die. And so even though death to them was the end of their dream, end of their hope, Jesus explained to them, no, that was the beginning of salvation for all of us. This encounter with Jesus corrected their errors. When we experience an encounter with Jesus, it will correct our errors. This past week, or a week ago now, a man came into our church and he had some questions. He wanted to know what the Vineyard movement believes, wanted to know specifically what Lighthouse here believes. And I talked to them about our basic beliefs here at the church. And then he wanted to start questioning them, especially this idea that we can read the Bible and understand it ourselves. See, his premise was that great theologians from hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, had already figured out what the Bible meant, and that we weren't supposed to like read it for ourselves. We were supposed to just read what other people said about it and believe what they said. And I'm like, no, I really think that we're supposed to read it for ourselves and understand it for ourselves and believe that this is an active book and it's going to speak to our hearts. See, in the presence of Jesus, we can have our wrong thinking fixed, corrected through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says this himself in John chapter 16. He says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Jesus guides us into all truth through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And he gives the Holy Spirit the words to speak to correct us and to guide us. And so we can, through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, understand this book. And I don't know about you, but I don't have it all figured out yet. Anybody got it all figured out? Let's see. No, none of us. No, we don't have it all figured out. And so that means that we probably still need some correction in our theology, in our understanding, and especially, I would say, in our application. And so we should read this book, not just as a textbook, not just as a historical record, though it is that. We should read it with our hearts open and ask the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to guide us into right thinking and into an understanding, and he will. See, there are sections of this book that I have read many, several times, and yet I'll read it maybe this week, and God will bring out a verse, and he will speak to me like it's never spoke to me before because I'm in a new situation in my life. See, this book is alive and active, and we need to read it with a hope and understanding that Jesus himself will speak through the Holy Spirit to us to bring an understanding of it. And we can. And we can. So let's be students of the Word. Let's read the Word. Let's ask Jesus to open up our hearts and minds to understand it as we read it, to correct us in our wrong thinking. That's the second point. A surprise encounter with Jesus, his presence will correct our errors. And I love that. And I love that. So our last point, though, is this. A surprise encounter with Jesus will light a fire. Will light a fire. These men asked each other in verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? This is probably my favorite part of the story. So they were walking along talking to this stranger, and as he started explaining scripture and prophecy to these two men, their hearts lit up. Like they felt something in their soul. They felt something. It reminded me of the time when Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary was pregnant with Jesus, and Mary went to Elizabeth. And as she walked in the door and said, "Elizabeth, are you home?" or something like that, some type of greeting, Elizabeth said that her baby within her leaped for joy. See, it was the presence of Jesus, even as a little baby inside his mother's womb, that caused John the Baptist to leap for joy. His heart lit on fire as just a little preborn baby. When Jesus is in the room, we can feel him. And he lights our hearts on fire in our souls. This last weekend, not this past weekend, the weekend before, we hosted our first off-site overnight adult retreat. And Rose and I we've led adult retreats several times at a previous church. And we decided we hadn't done one here at Lighthouse, so we should probably do one. And I had forgotten how much work a retreat is, to be honest with you. I mean, there was a lot of work getting ready for it. We had to schedule everything through Bear Lake Bible Camp and work out the payments and all of the policies related to that. And then we had some volunteer worship team members. We had to work with them a little bit and say, well, we need sets for this and this and this. And we had to figure out the songs and get the lyrics and everything together. Rose and I actually taught four different times throughout the retreat. And so we essentially did a message series in a weekend, and we put together all of that and had PowerPoints and handouts, and then we had a team that was printing name badges, release of liability forms, information packets. There was a lot of things to do to get ready for this retreat. And I remember on Saturday morning, it was Friday night and Saturday, and so on Saturday morning, we're in our first session in the morning, and we're doing worship, and I'm standing in the back worshiping. And I'm just thinking about all the work that we put into this retreat. And I'm asking myself, is it worth it? I mean, to do all of this and to spend time away. I was tired because I hadn't slept very good the night before. And it was in that time that Jesus showed up. Like you could just sense throughout the entire room the presence of Christ. And I remember thinking, oh, that's why we do these retreats. That's why we do these retreats, because God's presence fills those who retreat to him. And at that retreat, in the presence of Christ, my heart lit up again. And not just mine, I'd say the 30 people that were there, we all felt the presence and power of Christ, and it lit our hearts on fire. Jesus starts a fire wherever he goes. We should want this. This is known as the joy of our salvation. And there are times when we come to know Christ and we get on fire for him, but over time our hearts can become cold and calloused and hardened again. And we can forget the joy that we experienced when we first became a follower of Christ. Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah when he said in Matthew chapter 13, "For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." See, Jesus is stating a fact that our hearts can become calloused over time. They can become dry and cold. And we need a touch from Jesus to heal us, and that touch comes in the presence of Christ himself. We need Jesus to light that fire again. This past week on Wednesday, at the Blue Gate in Shipshewana, they were hosting a community night of worship. And this is their third one, I think, third annual one. And we hadn't heard about it before this year, and so we decided to go. My brother Doug's church up in Michigan was one of the worship teams that would be leading that night, so we wanted to go and try to support him too. But I'll be real honest with you, Wednesday about 4 o'clock, I just wanted to go home. Anyone ever been there? Like, you've worked all day, you made plans for something that night, yeah, and you're like, I just want to go home. And I think that's something that's happened to all of us, because we're in the post-COVID world, where during COVID, during 2020, we all had to learn how to stay at home, right? And we all had to learn how to make it comfy, and so we did. We got the big screen TV, we got the high-speed internet, we got the subscriptions to all the streaming things. We also bought Kindles so we could read, and we got we got nice couches, and we just figured out how to stay home and be happy with it. And so it's really hard for us anymore to, after a long day of work or a long day of school, to not just go home to our comfy little nest that we've created for ourselves. Now, when I was growing up, I went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Even when I was in high school, when I had a choice to do that, I went. And part of the reason why was because my home was so boring. I mean, there was nothing to do. We had a little 13-inch black and white TV that had three channels. And one of them was channel 46. So we didn't have anything to watch. And so I wanted to go. I wanted to leave. I wanted to go to some church event. It was like exciting for me. It was something to do. And I think that we have gotten accustomed to staying home, right? I mean, let's be honest. How many of you enjoy, after a long day of school or work, being at home and just chilling out, right? Like, that's just probably like a majority of us. If we're honest with ourselves, we've created this nice, comfy nest to stay, to go home to, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. The problem I have is that we choose to do that over doing the things of God. That's what I have a problem with. And again, I struggle with the same thing. So there are times when I have a choice to do something. If I'm the leader of it, I kind of have to be there, right? A church event. But I didn't have to go to this thing on Wednesday. But I'm like, well, we should probably go. I don't really want to go, but we should probably go. So we went. And I'll tell you, it was one of the most significant times of worship that I've had in a long time. God's presence was there. And my heart that had been lit on fire at the retreat got reignited at this event. And then it was funny because, you know, we went there just to receive, and then God starts saying, well, I want you to go give this person a prophetic word. I'm like, no, I don't want to do that. And I'm like, so then I'm actually like prophesying over a couple of people, and someone came to ask me to pray for them. It was just a really cool opportunity in the presence of God. And at this event, there were these two young adults that were up front worshiping, and I recognized them because they had actually come to our retreat the weekend before. They're friends of a young adult here at the church, and they heard about the retreat, and so they signed up and came to it. And then they're here up front and worshiping God at this night of worship in Shipshawana. And so I talked to them later, and I just asked them, I said, are you guys Jesus junkies? And they're like, what? Well, yeah, I guess we are. And I love that because their hearts were on fire because they were pursuing the presence of Christ. They didn't even know anyone there. They didn't know anyone hardly at all at our retreat. And they just went and they sat in the front row and they pursued Christ. And God met them there. And he lit a fire in their hearts. So if your heart's fire, the joy of your salvation is dwindling. If you feel like your heart has become a little calloused, I'm going to encourage you, leave the comfort of your house. Leave the comfort of your house. Get uncomfortable. Go where God's people are seeking him. And when you seek him, you will find him if you seek him with all of your heart. And he will light that fire again. Now, just over this next week here at Lighthouse, there's several opportunities to do this just at our church. Tonight, we have the Chosen Watch Party. And I'll tell you that watch party, the Chosen series is a really, I think, anointed series. I've watched that and I've laughed, I've cried, but I've gotten filled up in watching that series. So I'd encourage you, come tonight. You know, let the students give you some popcorn. That'll be awesome. Also, every Tuesday night, we have the prayer room here at the church. And it's at 7 o'clock. You don't have to do anything but show up and just sit. And we will have people on stage that are worshiping and praying over you. And you just have an opportunity just to meet Christ in those moments. And this Tuesday, we're starting the overview of the Old Testament. It's a class. Some of you, like, you get close to Christ by studying the Bible, right? I mean, there's some of you are like, that's how I connect with Christ is through studying the Word. I would encourage you to sign up for this class. We have two fantastic volunteer teachers who are going to walk you through the Old Testament, and I would encourage you to do that. And then if you're a young adult, you're out of high school, not yet 30 years old, come to Young Adults every Wednesday. They have a time of teaching, prayer, discussion, worship, but Christ is always there. You can count on that. And then this Friday night, of course, is our night of worship, and you should come to that. It's going to be fun. We actually have a couple of guest worship leaders that are going to be helping us do that. And I wanted to throw in, we're going to be doing these occasionally this year because our word is fight. So we have a fight night coming up, not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. And this one you get a little bit more involved in, but we do spiritual warfare for our friends and family who are held captive by the enemies of their soul. And so we're going to do that on occasion throughout this year. And so I would encourage you to come at 6 o'clock for that in a week on Tuesday night. But don't be limited by what we put on the calendar here at Lighthouse. There are a lot of good churches and ministries in our area that are consistently meeting together and doing something where Jesus is showing up. And so if you feel your heart getting cold, getting calloused, pursue Christ. Go to where his people are gathered. I mean, I hope that this is, on a Sunday morning, an opportunity for your heart to be lit up again, but don't wait for Sunday. You know, go to these other events Monday through Saturday as well. Here's your last fill-in. The fire in our hearts needs the fuel of his presence. It just does. The fire in our hearts needs the fuel of his presence.